evening and welcome to Health Matters, the Mental Health Edition. I'm your host, Dr. Shelley Visconti, licensed psychologist, counselor, and marriage and family therapist. This evening, we'll be discussing managing holiday stress. And with us this evening as our guests, we have three intelligent, talented young women who are going to be sharing their vast amount of knowledge. They are my three interns, and although they are early in their careers, they have a lot to share with our guests this evening about managing stress. So Tabitha, I'm going to start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I'm Tabitha Rawls, and I earned a master's degree from Louisiana Tech at Barksdale and have also attended LSUS in Shreveport for my practicum and internship, and currently I am a counseling intern through LSU. I work with at the office of Gable and Vegan.
And Ashley, go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Ashley Rice, and I also attend LSUS Shreveport, and I am an intern as well.
Hi, I'm Coral Serrano Bennett, and I'm a provisional licensed professional counselor. I got my master's at LSUS and my undergraduate degree at Loyola University, New Orleans. I did my internship and practicum at Centenary, and I now practice at Psychology and Counseling of Shreveport under medical psychologist Bruce McCormick.
Well, thank you all for being here, and not like you had much of a choice, right?
My pleasure.
Y'all all successfully are surviving being my interns, so congratulations. I want to invite our listeners to join our conversation on managing holiday stress. Our number is 1-800-552-8502. Call in with your question or comment. So the holidays can be extremely stressful. It's a fun time. It's a great time to connect with family and friends, but it's also a really stressful time. So what are some of the causes or triggers from some of the feelings of stress and anxiety and depression that we can experience during the holidays?
Well, I think one of the main things that people have a hard time with is the loss of other loved ones, whether it's family or friends who are no longer with us because they've passed away, or even once children grow up and they're out of the home and they're spread out doing their own family things, then that could impact how some of the older generations feel when it comes to some of the depression. And then, of course, just planning and budgeting and spending, all of those things increase everyone's stress and their anxiety about how they're going to manage everything during that time.
Sure, and also just managing your time is extremely difficult. We've got so many places we need to be, so many things we need to do, and getting all of that done can be really challenging when you're trying to manage a family and relationships and work and things like that. It's a lot.
Absolutely. And I think that one of the biggest triggers of stress and anxiety during this time is our expectations. There's so much pressure to make the time special and to have the perfect meal and the perfect family. And we can often take on too much.
Yeah, so often we have these expectations that are not realistic.
Absolutely.
We expect the meal to be perfect and it to be hot and everybody sit down at the same time and everybody open their gifts in an orderly fashion and everybody arrive on time and all that kind of stuff. And it's really difficult to make all of that happen. So how do we develop realistic expectations regarding the holidays?
Well, I think first you have to know that nothing is going to be perfect and that there will be problems that come up. There are going to be people who can't show up or don't show up on time. There are going to be events that you may not be able to attend. And just keeping that in mind and knowing that it's not going to be perfect will help.
So what would some realistic goals be to have for the holidays?
I think realistic goals are prioritizing the things in your life that are going to be the most important to you, whether that's, you know, you do Christmas Eve someplace or you do Christmas Day someplace, and really taking that into account and only doing the most important things before you start trying to schedule in additional activities.
So having the goal of making it to everybody's house, having the goal of buying the perfect Christmas present for every single person, having the goal of being able to buy everybody everything that they want, those would not be terribly realistic goals.
No, and learning to say no in that. You know, sometimes we overextend ourselves and then we're not able to fully meet those obligations. And then we're let down. Our family is let down. Our children is let down for the holidays. So being realistic in that as well.
Mm-hmm. So learning to say no and being comfortable with that, it you know, just learning how to say it, but then also being comfortable that, I mean, I know that's something that a lot of my patients struggle with, and I'm sure that y'all have seen the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any suggestions that y'all have as far as helping people learn to say no, really developing those skills of setting those boundaries?
I think it's important to communicate assertively, and that means that you're firm, but it's very courteous, it's respectful. You can express your preference kindly. So I think a lot of people are afraid that it will become a confrontation or it'll veer off into a fight, especially if it's with family, because during this time, family's not always a source of joy. Sometimes it's the source of stress for people. So just knowing that it's okay to put your own needs first and practicing that assertiveness.
Yeah, and that's really something we need to try to practice all year long, because it's a skill that can come in handy a lot of times, not just around the holidays, but it can be especially important around the holidays, just because there are so many things that we have to get done. Mm-hmm. And as y'all said, you know, learning to prioritize those things, have those realistic expectations, have those realistic goals. So how do we know when our expectations or goals are not realistic?
I think that when we're putting those goals before our health, that's when we know this is too much and we have to reevaluate. I think that there has to be a balance. So if you're noticing that and you're noticing that you're telling yourself, I should do this, I should do that, I need to do this, it might not be a realistic goal. And that's where priorities come in, like Tabitha discussed.
So really paying attention to, are we getting enough sleep? Are we getting just enough time to unwind, de-stress? And then also just making sure that, I know one thing that I try to tell people to do is to think about how much time it's going to take you to do something and then double that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think that it's going to take you 2 hours to get your Christmas shopping done, then schedule 4 hours. Or if you think that you're going to be able to get all your presents wrapped in a day, go ahead and schedule 2 days, because often we overestimate what we can get done, and then we find ourselves in a bind. Are there any other tips that y'all thought of to share with people?
I think that as we've mentioned before, that perfectionism can really get in the way of just enjoying yourself during this time. So learning to lower standards if they're unrealistic is really important.
I think, too, that it's important to try and remember that the holidays are not necessarily about how much you're buying for people and who all you're going to see, but when you start scheduling events and buying presents and doing all of these other things, and it becomes more of a burden to you and becomes more of a stressor and you no longer enjoy it, that's when you should really know that there's a problem with that.
So really paying attention to how you're thinking, how you're feeling, and if you're not feeling great, then reevaluating what's going on with your schedule and with your finances and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So oftentimes we can model behavior that's not real great for kids. And one of those things that we can model is not having realistic expectations ourselves. So how can we teach children to have realistic expectations? Because this is a really great time for kids. We all remember when we were kids being so excited about the holidays. How can we help our children to manage those expectations if they don't get that gift that they were really wanting, or if they don't get to visit someone that they were really wanting to see?
I think it's important to be honest with our children, you know, in the situation. You know, these are limitations. This is what we can do, and this is what we can't. And I think in that, they'll learn, you know, this is really what the holiday is about. It's about family. It's about spending time with your loved ones. It's about, you know, getting that time off away from school and from work and really focusing in on what you're really grateful for the holidays, rather than putting those, you know, those beliefs and that everything into gifts and presents.
And kids do what they see, so that's something that we have to model ourselves for the children. If we're saying it but not doing it, then that can send mixed messages to our kids. I want to invite our listeners to call in with your question or comment on managing holiday stress. The number is 1-800-552-8502. So identifying and acknowledging feelings and how we're doing is really important in managing our stress. But often we'll ignore those things. We'll kind of we'll be a little tired or something, and we'll, I don't know, I'll make it through. How can we really make sure that we identify, acknowledge, and are really in touch with what's going on with ourselves so we can properly manage our stress?
I think that self-awareness is so key, and it has to be an ongoing process. It's not just something that happens automatically. So, you know, wellness is not the absence of illness, but more an outcome of consistently acknowledging and trying to resolve the challenges that come our way. And we have to tune into ourselves. We have to ask ourselves, how we're feeling physically. Are we noticing a lot of tension? Are we taking the time to prioritize self-care the way that we really should? And that's something that really we should try to do all year, but is especially important during such a hectic period such as holidays.
In addition to that, I believe that learning to recognize your holiday triggers, you know, is it financial pressures? Is it personal demands? Is it that family member that you can't stand? You know, it's important to figure out what is it about the holidays that kind of stresses me out. And then once you figure that out, you can try to decrease it from there.
Mm-hmm. So maybe looking at previous holidays and times that were particularly difficult for you, and looking at that and maybe having a plan to how to handle that particular person, or how to better manage your finances, or things like that.
Yes, planning goes a long way, and positive thinking as well. You know, be positive in the holidays. It's a cheerful time, so you should have a cheerful mindset. And you know, if that one family member, you know, they're negative at these situations, maybe removing yourself from that situation or doing something else this year. And I think sometimes we have to do that. You know, sometimes traditions have to be broken, and maybe I need to do something else this year to make me feel better about myself, to feel better about the holidays.
And Coral, kind of going back to what you were saying, I think that taking a few minutes every day to really pay attention, like you were saying, that tension, and think, because sometimes we get so busy that we don't even notice that just how tired we are, just how stressed we are, mm-hmm. just how fatigued and drained we are. So really taking a few minutes every single day and really evaluating, how do I feel, and do I need to make some adjustments to feel a little bit better? I want to invite our listeners to call in with your questions or comments about managing holiday stress. The number is 1-800-552-8502. So one of the things that can be really great during the holidays is having that support system around, having people around, as you said, Ashley, to really be a positive part of our holiday and a positive part of our life. How can we build a really great positive support system?
Well, having a support system is important all year, but at the holidays it may be more important because people do feel a little more stressed. But just having family that you can talk to, or close friends that you can talk to, or maybe it's a coworker or someone that you attend church with, or even if it's, you know, if you are someone who already has a professional relationship with a counselor or a psychologist, then even making sure that you keep those appointments, those all help build that healthy support system that you hope to have in place all year so that you're not just needing it at the holidays.
Yeah, and we often have, you know, clients that will kind of drop off the map for a little while around the holidays, and then they come back in and they're super stressed, you know, in February or something. And so, yeah, I think that's an important point that you just made, Tabitha. If you do usually go get a massage, or if you do usually go take a walk, or if you, you know, whatever it is that you do to maintain your health, your mental health, your physical health, trying not to, although it's difficult, trying not to, to let those things just completely disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also, I think it's important, as you said, Tabitha, that, you know, having that support system all year long, because the holidays can be a difficult time for people, not only stress, but also because of, as you said earlier, Tabitha, you know, losing loved ones and things like that. And so it can be a great time to have that support system to help you with things like that. I mean, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. We have Celeste on the phone. Celeste, go right ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, I just had a quick comment. You know, as women, we always think everything is on us. You know, we're responsible for everybody's happiness and whatever, everything that goes on. And I just wanted to share my daughter. I was so proud of her for Thanksgiving. Her husband, that's his favorite holiday. And she's glad to do that for him. But she said, it's not my favorite because it's so much work with the food. And she said it takes days to fix it and 20 minutes to eat it, the same as any other meal. And so what she did is she divided up the dishes between the members of the family. And everyone except 19-month-old had a responsibility for the meal. And it just went lovely, and she wasn't as tired, and everybody seemed to enjoy it. So I just wanted to share that with people. You know, young children can do a lot, and it makes them feel invested in things, and they need to learn how to do things. And I think we don't take enough time teaching them those skills.
Yeah, thank you for your comment. That's a really good good point that Celeste made, is that, you know, often there is one family member or a couple of family members that tend to kind of take on a lot of the responsibility, and then that person doesn't get to enjoy the holidays themselves, and it's not a whole lot of fun for them. Mm-hmm. And that's great that Celeste's daughter was able to ask for help and got that help, and that's really fabulous. I know my family over Thanksgiving, we I went and ordered the Thanksgiving meal, and it was prepared. We just heated it up, and it was fabulous because nobody was having to slave in the kitchen. It was great. So finding those kind of those ways to decrease the burden can be really helpful. And that kind of leads into another thing that I wanted us to talk about, is reaching out for help. Asking people for help, whether it be help with a meal or whether it be help with, you know, you lost a loved one and you need someone to talk to. That can be really, really difficult for people. Do y'all have any suggestions as far as asking for that help and reaching out to people if that's particularly difficult for you?
Well, I think that goes back to some of the things that have already been said, just knowing your own limitations and knowing what struggles you have. And if you know those things, then you can kind of plan for that too. And you can know, hey, I'm going to call my best friend to help babysit or to help do this while I try other things, and or asking your spouse for help, and the people that you are already close to that you already have in your support system that you depend on a regular basis. And most people know when this time of the year rolls around what is difficult for them. They just don't take the time to actually do anything about it. And so if you stay really aware of how you're feeling and what your own limitations are, I think it's easier to ask for help where you need it.
Yeah, so maybe planning ahead a little bit and letting people know, look, I'm, you know, the getting the meal together, just like Celeste's daughter did, getting the meal together is kind of difficult for me. Can y'all help out? Or, mm-hmm. you know, my mom died last year around this time. You know, would you be available for me to call or text if I'm feeling a little bit down? So,
yeah, reaching out. And I know a lot of people feel like it's weak somehow, or like they're a burden. And I wish that they knew that their loved ones, they want to be there for them. And that's what our support systems are for. And there's also another side to the asking for help. I think sometimes it's hard for perfectionists to relinquish some control over how things are going to go. And I think that's part of adjusting our expectations, kind of for the greater good. And proud of Celeste's daughter for delegating. That's beautiful. And yeah. It'll also counter possible resentment as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that we were able to explore that a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point, because sometimes we will take on all of these responsibilities on, and then we're angry, we're resentful because, oh, I had to do everything again, yet another year, and I did everything. Mm-hmm. Sometimes reaching out and asking for some help can help to reduce not only the fatigue, but also some of the resentment.
Mm-hmm. And then sometimes, like, the stress isn't just there during the holidays. It's there all year round. And then when the holidays come around, you know, you have this sadness, this loneliness, and you're depressed. And then you try to push this aside because you're supposed to be cheerful, and you're supposed to, you know, be in the holiday spirit. And so you have so much holiday cheer that you're really ignoring, you know, your feelings, and you're not acknowledging how you feel. And it's almost like you're putting on a facade, and deep down you're struggling. Mm-hmm. And then once the holidays are gone, the family is gone, the food is gone, then you're left with yourself again. So I think it's best to acknowledge that, you know, why you have that support, why the family is in town, while everyone is coming together.
Absolutely. And you also, in order to reach out, you need to be able to identify what you need. So if you're avoiding that reflection, it's going to be harder for you to get that support.
I want to invite our listeners to join our conversation with a question or comment on managing holiday stress. The number is 1-800-552-8502. So, time management, that's a difficult one for everybody year round, but particularly during the holidays. I know that you ladies have dealt with this with clients before. So what are your tips on managing time?
Well, I think that goes back to planning ahead and making a schedule and knowing what the limitations are and staying firm with your boundaries that you are able or are not able to do certain things.
I agree. I think lists are your friend. Breaking things down into smaller pieces as opposed to looking at the entire list at once, because that will just spiral you straight into a panic. And I mean, as far as managing time, that goes right along with being able to delegate and making things easier and just breaking things up to be more manageable.
And I think Celeste made a good point saying that, you know, involving the kids. I know one year we ran out of wrapping paper, and we, my mom had us kids wrap a few of the last presents in newspaper. And we took markers and crayons, and, you know, and it wasn't beautiful, but, you know, it did the trick, and it saved a trip to the store. So, you know, being okay with things not being perfect, as you said, Coral, and improvising, and, you know, let the kids, you know, help set the table, let them do the things that they can help do, and it'll help them to feel a part of the holidays.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's really a good point, especially if you have young children, including them in what's going on and assigning them tasks keeps them busy, and it keeps them from feeling like the attention has been taken away from them. So smaller children especially will respond better with not feeling so left out of that.
My only other tip that comes to mind for time management would be to use spare time wisely, because that can really add up.
So maybe spend a little less time surfing Facebook or things like that.
Yeah, the Netflix.
Yeah. I want to invite our listeners to call with your question or comment about managing holiday stress. The number is 1-800-552-8502. So families. they're a joy, and they can also be a pain. How do we set aside differences? How do we get along with our families during the holidays? What are y'all suggestions?
Well, to support just the idea of being aware of our expectations, I think that sometimes we have to accept that we're not going to get along, and we can't expect just because it's the holidays that tension isn't going to be there. And I think that we can save ourselves from some disappointment if we just go in sort of being aware of what may happen, what's likely to happen. And then as far as more kind of like drunk uncle situations or political discussions, I think that focusing on what we have in common, and just avoiding arguing to win, and more just actually discussing to understand.
I know that with some family members, we have rules about what we will discuss and what we won't discuss. Mm-hmm. And we kind of lay those ground rules at the very beginning, you know, before the holidays have even started. You know, these are the topics we're not going to discuss because it hasn't ever gone well in the past, and we have no expectation that it's going to go well in the future. So I know that's one thing that my family has done, is that there's just certain topics that we don't discuss with certain family members, and that seems to have worked pretty well with us. I mean, politics seems to be a hot topic, and I know that all families have their different topics, but especially when there are a lot of people and the holidays are so hectic and there is a lot of stress, if you want to resolve some of those differences with people, probably not the best time to do it when there's alcohol around and a bunch of people in the room and a lot's going on. So any other suggestions as far as getting along with our family members during the holidays?
Well, I think, too, that it's okay to excuse yourself from a conversation. You can only control your own behaviors and your own actions. And if a conversation comes up or people are behaving in a way that you're not comfortable with, I think it's okay to just politely excuse yourself and not engage in those conversations and behaviors.
Sure, because it's not going to escalate if you don't engage. If you can excuse yourself to go outside for a few minutes, or if it's something that you've tried excusing yourself and it's still not going away and you feel like you need to leave, just nicely, as you said, politely saying, you know, I think we're going to have to go now. It's been a joy seeing everybody, you know, or however you need to handle that. Ashley, any suggestions?
I would say just sticking to your boundaries, knowing your boundaries. This is what I will discuss. This is what I won't. You know, this is what I'm going to allow and this is what I'm not. If you don't want that negative, toxic energy in your space, and you know some family members tend to, you know, possess some of those characteristics, I would probably do something else this year. Find happiness elsewhere, because our family, you know, it isn't always through blood. Sometimes our friends are our closest family members. Sometimes our church is our closest family members. So being around those that just genuinely make you happy.
So another really difficult, sticky thing for folks around the holidays is finances. You know, a lot of us are having to stick to a budget all year long, and then the holidays roll around and we've got these added expenses, whether it be food or gifts or traveling or whatever. And so it can be really challenging and tough, especially when you see other people traveling and having fancy meals and lots of gifts and everything. So any suggestions as far as making a budget and, more importantly, sticking to that budget?
Well, I think with making a budget, you need to be aware of really what you can do, and you need to be realistic. And that doesn't mean go in and spend a bunch of money on a credit card that you're going to spend the whole next year trying to pay back. And it's, you don't have to spend a large amount of money to make good memories with your families and your friends and to enjoy that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's important to really keep in mind what we're grateful for and know what we enjoy and make those things happen. And if that means making homemade gifts with your children because you can't afford to go buy all the grandparents' presents and things like that, then I think that's okay. And just accepting that is going to be helpful. Mm-hmm.
I agree. And as well as gifts exchange, that works well. You know, we're going to spend $10, $15, or $20 this year. We're not going to have these extravagant gifts because we know our budget.
So another way to establish those boundaries is to have some kind of spending limit or something for everybody. And then that way nobody feels left out, nobody feels guilty, and everybody feels like they're participating, but nobody is super stressed out after the holidays because they're wondering how they're gonna pay their credit card bills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to invite our listeners to join our conversation with your question or comment about managing holiday stress. The number is 1-800-552-8502. So with adults, it's a little bit different. It's a little easier to set those boundaries as far as spending, but with our kids. So the kid really wants this new video game. The kid really wants these new sneakers. Like, if I don't have this, nobody's going to like me. I'm going to be so unpopular. I'm going to be the only kid without this particular thing. You know, how do we handle that, especially as parents? You know, a lot of parents already walk around with a lot of guilt. You know, am I doing enough for my child? So how do we manage that if we just cannot afford to get that thing that our child really, really wants?
I think that instilling in our children that this is what, you know, the holidays is about. This is about family. This is not about the nice sneakers that just came out or the video game. Yes, those things are nice. But, you know, what does it really do for you in the long run? You know, how is this gonna, you know, help you become a positive person in our society? I think instilling those things in the holidays is better than, you know, these assets that these children want. And I think if you start that early on, that by the time they're 13, 14, and 15 years old, they know, okay, this is about my family. I get to see those relatives that live, you know, halfway across the country. And this is what I'm excited for. I'm not excited to be just like Bobby down the street who has the new Jordans.
So again, something that probably we need to work on all year long, really helping our children to see that we don't gain happiness through stuff. Mm-hmm. We gain happiness through ourselves, mm-hmm. through and not we don't gain acceptance from others through stuff. And really model that year round so that when the holidays do come around and there are pressures from their peers, mm-hmm. what did you get for Christmas? Oh, you know, and then mm-hmm. what are you going to ask for? What, you know, that maybe our kids can manage that a little bit, mm-hmm. a little better.
Mm-hmm. That is such a hard question though, because depending on how old the child is, you might be able to be more transparent about how finances might affect, you know, the ability to receive certain things. So that becomes kind of like a bigger question about our traditions.
Yeah, but you know, yeah, someone who's a teenager might be able to explain a little bit, although it might be disappointing that they might not get a gift, the particular gift that they want. But how do you explain that to an 8-year-old? That's a little more difficult. I want to invite our listeners to join our conversation, 1-800-552-8502. So we're talking about budgets and sticking with them. But, you know, there's a lot of really pretty stuff out there right now. And it's all sparkly and it's great and everybody else is spending lots of money. So, you know, how do we resist that spending fever that we tend to catch this year, this time of year?
Like Tabitha was saying, plan ahead. And I know this year, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a shopping day. So I know I have 3 days to shop and that's it. Outside of those days, I'm not going to overextend myself. I'm not going to overdo it. And I'm going to stay within my budget.
For some people, it really helps to actually take out the actual cash they're going to be using. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's more visible, it's tangible, and when it's gone, it's gone. And hopefully if you plan and know how much you want to spend for each person or everything else, then that can make for a successful way to do it.
So as you said a little earlier, you know, lists are your friend. So maybe sit down, make a list of everybody you need to buy gifts for, and then figure out how much you're going to spend for each person. I think that's a great suggestion, is put those credit cards away, because it's so much easier to, the plastic just isn't quite, it's just a little different feel than handing someone cash. And then when you're out of that cash, then you're out of cash. But it's a little bit easier, like I said, with a credit card to just keep kind of piling that money on. And then, you know, then when January, February rolls around, it's not quite as much fun. I want to invite our listeners to call in with your question or comment on managing holiday stress. The number is 1-800-552-8502. So we touched on this a little bit earlier, but I think that it's important to enough to revisit again, but saying no, because it is really difficult to say no. And some people do bristle when you say no to them. So what is the right way to say no? Is there a right way to say no? What are y'all's thoughts or suggestions?
Well, I think the right way and the best way is always to do it politely and respectfully and not pointing fingers or anything like that, but accepting your own role and why you're saying no. And it's okay for you to say no, and just realizing that that's important, that you can say no if you need to.
And changing the way we say that, instead of saying, you know, you're putting too much on me, I'm stressed out, these are the holidays, and I just, you know, it's, I'm not going to do it. I would, you know, change that verbiage and say, you know what? I'm stressed out. I'm physically not able to do this right now. So it's all about the way you can, not what you say, but how you say it. So I would really change that and let them know how I'm feeling, acknowledge my feelings in my statements to others.
So owning that and not necessarily blaming, owning,
yes,
and saying, you know, this, I need to do this because of the how it's impacting me or how it might impact me, or so any other tips for saying no?
I think that people are tempted to over-explain. And I think we can just, less is more, you know. We can leave it at that. You don't owe anybody a lengthy explanation. That will probably just trigger your own guilt. So it's okay to assertively communicate your needs, period.
and just say, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to do that. I wish I could, but I'm not going to be able to. I mean, sometimes that's sufficient. I know sometimes, especially, I don't know about y'all's parents, but mine are really skilled at the guilt. And if my mother's listening, she will know that that's true. So when people start kind of laying on the guilt, you know, how do we combat that in our heads? What do we do to feel okay with saying no?
I think part of it is we have to stick to our guns a bit, because sometimes when the person responds, it starts to feel more like a negotiation when your mind is made up. So trying to really nip that in the bud and be firm but polite, I think, is the way to do it.
Yeah, and that's what I do with my mom is just, you know, mom, you know, that's not going to work on me. I love you. I love you, but that's not going to work on me. Although it does sometimes. I want to invite our listeners to call in with your question or comment. The number is 1-800-552-8502. Kind of briefly going back to the saying no thing again, Coral, I think that you had mentioned, you know, resentment. And then, Ashley, I think you had mentioned, you know, kind of sometimes when we say no, we might kind of blame the other person or put it on them. And I think that goes back to letting those resentments kind of build up and instead getting rid of those resentments. And then we might be better able to own whatever's going on rather than waiting until we just can't handle it anymore and then kind of going off on somebody or exploding on somebody, acknowledging our limitations and setting up those boundaries year round. So what about self-care? You know, self-care is difficult when it's not the holidays, but it's especially difficult during the holidays, especially with, you know, there's more alcohol around, there's more food around, there's more stuff to do, that it's a lot more interesting than necessarily, you know, going for a jog or sitting and meditating. You know, we're thinking about all the other things that we need to do while we're trying to meditate. So how do we do that? How do we maintain self-care during the holidays? What are y'all's suggestions?
Well, if you have a good routine already and you have something like jogging or meditating that you routinely do because it makes you feel better, then continuing to do that is going to be your best option. But also just knowing that you can partake in pies and cakes and all of these different foods, and you know, it's okay to have a drink or whatever is acceptable for yourself, but don't overdo it. And really setting a boundary for yourself on what is going to be okay and what's not okay. Remembering to try and eat healthy and get enough rest, not having a hangover, all of those things will help with the way that you're feeling.
And maybe having that healthy snack before you go to the holiday party. So by the time you get there, you're not overindulging. Get plenty of sleep, you know, incorporate regular physical activity in your daily routine. Whatever you do to reduce your stress and to clear your mind, that's what you, like Tabitha said, you should continue to do that. Taking a walk, listening to soothing music, getting a massage, reading a book. You know, those things are beneficial even during the holidays, any time of the year.
And I think it's important to honor that time, to take it as seriously as we would another commitment, because often it's the first thing to go by the wayside when things get busy and stressful. It's like, okay, well, just I'll skip that yoga class or, you know, whatever it may be. And also, I think that some people have the idea that self-care is some kind of indulgent thing, like, it's all bubble baths and cupcakes in it, and it's not. It's totally tied to that maintenance, that tuning into yourself. How are your relationships? How are you emotionally, physically? There's all these different facets financially. So it's all part of that self-awareness.
So being aware of what you can tolerate, whether it be food or alcohol. Ashley, you mentioned, I think that's a good suggestion, you know, load up on the healthy foods mm-hmm. so that when you go to the holiday party with all the cakes and pies, you aren't starving. Mm-hmm. And then also trying to maintain that routine. And not feeling guilty for maintaining your routine. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I see with caregivers, they feel really, really badly. They feel guilty for doing for themselves, you know, people that are kind of naturally caretakers. And, you know, what I'll often say to them is that, but you're taking care of all of these people. If you're not there, who's going to, you know, you have to be healthy in order to continue to mm-hmm. do all these caretaking activities. Mm-hmm. And if you're not healthy, then who's going to do it? So your health is just as important because you do serve a really important part in these people's lives. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So as you said, you know, taking that seriously, really honoring that time, Carl.
Yeah. And because we haven't really mentioned much about the effects of stress, but they're severe, you know, long-term stress or even short-term can cause some serious physical problems. So I think it's really way more important to take those small steps to manage stress.
Mm-hmm. So really managing that stress, knowing your limits, knowing your boundaries, kind of sticking with whatever routine you have, trying to get enough sleep, trying to eat right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like a lot. Yeah. I want to invite our listeners to call in with your question or comment about managing holiday stress. Our number is 1-800-552-8502. So when we do feel overwhelmed, which you're going to, even if we do everything right, even if we stick to that schedule and we have those boundaries and we say no appropriately and we do all those things that we're supposed to, even then there are going to be times when we're feeling overwhelmed. So what do we do when we feel overwhelmed? How do we manage that feeling?
Well, I think just taking a breather from everything, whether that's walking out of the room, walking outside, getting a breath of fresh air. Maybe it is taking that bubble bath that night to unwind. All of those things will help with those feelings of being overwhelmed. Sometimes we need to reevaluate our schedules and our plans and everything that we feel that we should be doing and look at the things that we actually need to do. And that'll help reduce some of those overwhelming feelings.
So just taking a breather, taking a break, reevaluating, really looking at what's going on and what, mm-hmm. what needs to be done as opposed to what we feel like we should be doing, which can be really challenging because oftentimes we think that we should be doing, you know, we kind of think as shoulds as needs, and there are really very few needs, but there are a lot of shoulds. So what about, you know, the holidays? It's a great time for being around friends and family and a lot of joy and togetherness. But also sometimes we can feel really lonely or disconnected during the holidays. Any suggestions as far as if we don't really feel like we have a great support system, if seeing everybody else being with their families or things like that makes us feel a sense of not belonging or loneliness, any suggestions?
Well, one of the suggestions that I make to people on a pretty regular basis is if you don't have family or friends that are local or at all, just getting involved in maybe a community activity, whether it's the mission or a soup kitchen or something like that, where you can help give back to other people. People really can feel a great sense of joy and purpose when they're helping other people. So you can reach out and get that connection with other people in other ways.
Mm-hmm. And it can be really hard for people that are already vulnerable and feeling lonely to reach out. So I would have a suggestion to people that do have that close support system and that family, to be the ones to reach out to mm-hmm. someone who you think might be feeling that way, and open your arms to them.
You know, my sister, her family kind of have these adopted grandparents, and go over and, you know, bring a pie and bring a gift and just sit and visit with them, whether it's the holidays or whatever time of year it is. And that's really done a lot for, of course, the adoptive grandparents, but then also for my sister, and then what my children have seen modeled. You know, seeing my sister and my brother-in-law giving to other people who don't have as much. Mm-hmm. So that's a great suggestion, you know, really trying to be a part of the community that you may not have family around, but having a feeling of being present with other people and sharing something greater mm-hmm. with other people. Mm-hmm. I want to invite our listeners to join our conversation with your question or comment on managing holiday stress. The number is 1-800-552-8502. So one of the suggestions that I sometimes have for my clients is to make a not-to-do list. Because often we make lists of things that we need to do. But sometimes it's important to reevaluate that and think of the things that perhaps we need to not be doing. So often I'll have them put things on there, worrying or perfectionism or things like that. Any suggestions as far as things that we need to try to avoid or not do during the holidays?
I would say don't worry about how things should be. Just kind of let them play out. Don't worry. Don't put a lot of emphasis on, you know, how your neighbors are decorating their house. And I have to be just as good as them. And don't overdo it like we've been saying the entire time. You know, stay within your limits and be comfortable in that.
So really knowing yourself and being okay with that.
Yes. Don't expect miracles. You're not a superhero. You're not a superwoman. You're not a superman. But stay within mm-hmm. your limits and be comfortable in knowing, you know, no, I don't have everything, but I'm okay with what I do have, appreciating what you do have. And that's really what the holidays are about, who you have and what you have in your life currently.
And actually, the research shows that keeping a gratitude journal is you wouldn't think that it would make that big of a difference in people's lives, but just something as simple as keeping a gratitude journal, the research has shown, can help to improve anxiety, depression, sense of belonging, self-esteem. It's really an easy, great way to refocus on what's really important mm-hmm. in life. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about some of the traditions and boundaries and things like that, but sometimes some of the things that we're doing during the holidays aren't necessarily the healthiest, even though they're traditions and so forth. Mm-hmm. So how can we give ourselves permission to kind of deviate from those usual holiday traditions? How do we help our family members to understand that maybe a deviation is going to be a good thing? You know, people don't really like change. And so how can we get people on board, ourselves included, with maybe changing some things for the better?
I would say focusing on the things that you can control. Some things are out of our, you know, hands. A family member passes away, and it was our grandmother, and she cooked Christmas dinner. So maybe we have to get takeout this year, or maybe Aunt Susie can, you know, do Christmas dinner this year. So it's about, you know, as your family grows, as things change, as people leave this earth, you know, we kind of have to learn to adjust. And I guess that's what it is, a constant adjustment. We're constantly adjusting to these life stressors. And sometimes we have to make adjustments. We can't do the same traditions we used to do. Or we have several new family members this year, so maybe we have to tweak it a little bit. And I think being okay and comfortable with change is top priority.
Yeah, that can be really difficult. Change is difficult with us for most people, and especially letting go of those traditions can be challenging. Can be really really challenging. So, what about alcohol and diet? What impact does that have on our mood?
Well, not having a healthy diet can lead to a lot of digestion problems, and it can just make you feel sluggish. A lot of times when you overeat on sweets, then you feel that the kind of the sugar rush, and then you have the crash that comes with it. Alcohol is somewhat the same. I mean, you may not feel like you're over consuming, but you may develop this haze and you're kind of like in a cloud, and you may not even realize how much it contributes to how much fatigue you may feel or the sluggishness that you feel, and you're just not running at 100% whenever your diet is not great and whenever you're consuming too much alcohol.
Mm-hmm. And that'll take a toll on your mood. You know, you're irritable, you're angry, you know, you're fatigued. Mm-hmm. That can alter it dramatically.
And that'll affect your self-esteem as well. If you're maybe putting on some weight or just feeling like you're not exercising self-control, whether it's with food or with drinking. I think that with drinking in particular, we're more likely to do and say things we regret, mm-hmm. and that adds stress. And also, just because it's the holidays doesn't mean we have to eat chocolate like all day long. But some people really feel like, well, so.
Well, I think some people don't realize that alcohol is a depressant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if you're already feeling down, then, you know, alcohol is probably not the best choice because it's a depressant. And then as y'all pointed out, you know, it can cause us to maybe react a little differently than maybe would be the best reaction, be a little more likely to make a comment when perhaps we shouldn't or mm-hmm. things like that.
Mm-hmm. And it's also, it's avoiding a feeling mm-hmm. of discomfort sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the opposite of our self-care spiel. Mm-hmm. That would be a maladjusted coping mechanism there.
Yeah.
So we have just a couple of minutes left. What I'd like is if each of y'all can maybe just spend a few seconds telling us, you know, what's your biggest take-home message as far as the holidays, as far as managing the stress that we have during the holidays? What's your number one, number two, number three kind of suggestions?
I think number one, and this theme has kept popping up, is perfectionism. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. So you don't have to take everything on, and you don't have to take everything on by yourself.
I think the second thing for me would be just trying to stay focused on what the season is really about and what I'm grateful for and the things that I find joy in every day. That's important, I think.
Yes. Like, if you like Christmas lights and Christmas carols before Thanksgiving, you know, good for you. Enjoy it while you can.
And I think the third and final tip is kind of to piggyback what Tabitha said. Just, you know, going back to your roots of what Christmas is about, being with family, enjoying others, being happy in that. And if it doesn't make you happy, don't do it. If you have to change your traditions this year, do whatever makes you happy. And that in turn is going to make you feel better. Your mood is going to be better. Your health is going to be better.
Thank you so much, ladies, for talking with us this evening and sharing all of your recommendations and suggestions regarding managing holiday stress. Health Matters is a program for informational purposes only. For all health questions, you should consult a physician or health professional. The views and opinions expressed on Health Matters may not necessarily reflect those of Red River Radio, its staff, or LSUS. This show is available for download from redriverradio.org. Health Matters is a production of Red River Radio. The producer is Renee Moran. Phone assistance has been provided this evening by Sheila Lawrence, Wally Derleth, and Tim Snell. Support for this program comes from the Knoll Foundation and also from the Community Foundation of North Louisiana. Please join us next Thursday for Health Matters. I'm Dr. Shelley Visconti. Thank you for joining us this evening.